So let me read God's word, and then we want to consider what it's saying to us today. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was. And other little boats were along also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep in a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God that Paul describes that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for all good works. Let's ask the Lord to guide us in our thinking today. Father, your word is truth. We've just sung about that. It is our guide. It is a light to our path. And Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture today, we ask that the Spirit of God would be our teacher, that he would lead us into truth. And Lord, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of it also. And we pray these things in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, inside your bulletin today, there is a little sermon outline if you'd like to follow along, and you may want to jot a note down. Maybe this is the teacher in me, but I always think that we can only absorb a certain amount at a time. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. Actually, that's what the psalmist says. So you may want to jot down some things and think about some things that we're looking at today a little bit later on, maybe sometime this week. So how has your life been going? How is that calendar working that we heard about? You know, has it been a good week? You know, or were you having to dry out your basements like so many people in Lancaster County did when we had 10 inches of rain in 3 hours? Or maybe your month has been going great and you've been having a wonderful month, or maybe not so much. How has your year been going? Well, you know, there are a lot of questions we could ask ourselves. And I often think of, and we have listed here, some of the things that sometimes distract us in life. So many variables that come into life. And aren't they true? We can plan, we can order, we can designate what's going to happen in life, but we don't know the end from the beginning. There's only one person that can do that, and that's God. And yet sometimes we have this question about finances, or maybe it's the upcoming election or appointments, you know, that are going to occur in our nation. Or maybe it's the fact of our health. Maybe it's the issues of terrorists. There's a whole list of things. All of those are variables because they're not certainties. We literally do not know what a day brings forth. But in the midst of a world of variables, there are some absolutes that we can consider. And we also have those listed up there, as you see in this slide that's before us. We see some things that are absolutes in the midst of all this variableness of life. You know, God still loves us, even when things don't look very lovely. God's word still is going to remain true, even when we live in a culture where truth is very, very short in supply. And we also know that God's presence is with us. Those are the absolutes that exist in the midst of variables. And that's good news. And there's a verse of Scripture that you're seeing there at the bottom of the slide that has always been a great encouragement to me. And that verse of Scripture comes from the psalmist. And he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble." You know how that's always encouraged me? I've had so many people during my life, and you have as well, that have said, "If you ever need anything, just let me know." I want to know where they are in the Pennsylvania Turnpike when I have a flat tire. You know, where are they to help me to change that tire? You understand what I'm saying. You see, the issue is not just the fact that there's a promise, but it's the person behind the promise that makes all of the difference. In fact, the thing that always encourages me, I think we can be encouraged when we understand that it is the Lord of hosts that is here among us, the God of Israel, who is our refuge, as the rest of that psalm says. You see, comforting us is the powerful presence of God in the midst of the variables of life. You know, when we realize that God is with us, that's good. But we understand who it is, this God that is with us, oh, that makes all the difference. Too many times I think we forget who God is as a crisis comes into our life, even as we see in our text today. Just giving you background on this text, Jesus has been engaged in his earthly ministry. He's in what is called the Galilean ministry, which runs approximately 3 years, and he's about a year and a half into it. And we find out this 1.5 years that he's involved in this Galilean ministry, that he does a lot of things, and he does them in rapid order, all as designating who he is. He's been engaged in great teaching. He's been gathering disciples that will follow him and carry out ministry that he gives to them. He's performed many mighty miracles. We've seen it earlier in the Gospel of Mark. And he's developed popularity, and he's developed some adversity. Some people really love him. The religious leaders, not so much. And so here we have this condition. And at the same time, Jesus is just about to begin sending these disciples out into this world where they will face so many variables. By chapter 6 of Mark, we find out that he sends these disciples, and he's sending them out, and he describes what conditions they're going to be facing. He said, "I am sending you out," it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "as sheep in the midst of wolves." Well, thank you very much. How about sending us someplace safe? But you see, life isn't safe, is it? Because many times life has a lot of variableness and we feel unsafe. But here it is, we see Jesus coming along there, and he's giving them this great commission that they're to be involved in. And we find out that he says, and it's not going to be easy. In fact, Jesus knows this, because it is Jesus that has indicated that life isn't always easy. Actually, when he tells them this, this is a recipe for fear. You have a mission, but you're just sheep, and you're facing wolves. That's quite a challenge. Now, there are four observations that I would like to make very briefly with you, as our time permits, concerning the event that we have just read about in the Word of God. First of all, look at the directions that the disciples were given. It tells us in verses 35 and 36. It occurred at an emotionally high time. You know, I always think that, you know, we're always encouraged with life when things go well. The Penn State football players are feeling great today. You know, they really are, because they really crushed Pittsburgh yesterday. So they're feeling high. And you know, they're on this level. But all of a sudden, if a game comes up next week that's tough, guess what? They're going to forget all about that Pittsburgh game. They're going to be focusing upon the variable that we're facing a tough team, and we're facing difficult times. You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, one of the things that sometimes happens in our life is that we overlook truth, especially when circumstances change. I find this very, very true in my own life. You know, they get into a storm, and they overlook the fact of what Christ's works indicated. He's done all of these miracles. And they forget all of the promises and the words that Christ has spoken. And isn't that true many times in the life crises that we face? We forget the works and the words of Christ. And all of a sudden, things just overwhelm our lives. And those things are overshadowed. So the directions were given at a high point in their life. The directions were very, very clear. Verse 35, he said, "Let's cross over to the other side." Now, Jesus is encouraging them to do this. It's not something they initiated. They weren't getting direction on their own. They're getting direction from the Son of God. He's saying what they need to do. And I find it interesting that he says, let's go over to the other side. Let's go from this side where there's a lot of people to the other side, the eastern side, which is basically wilderness, because he said, we have really been keeping quite a schedule. We need to rest and we need to reflect. And so we see these very clear directives. And it resulted in an amazing thing, obedience, verse 36. And it says, they left the multitude and they took him along in the boat. In other words, after this busy day where there's been a lot of public ministry, we see it in chapter 4, beginning of it, verse 1, and all this private ministry in chapter 4, verse 10, it is now evening. I don't know about you, but if I have worked all day and my wife says, hey, it'd be a great time to mow the lawn, I'm saying, wait, I think it'd be a great time to rest. But you see, at this time, they are obedient, even though after a busy day, there's going to be more demanded of them. But they obeyed. They had been given clear instruction, and there was amazing obedience to that instruction. You know, Jesus directed his disciples, and they obeyed, but they didn't keep them out of the storm. One of the problems today in Christianity is we assume that if we do and follow what God says, that we will be immune somehow from adversity. It's not true. In fact, Jesus, you'll remember, it tells us in Scripture that he said, I always do the will of the Father who sent me, John chapter 5, verse 30, and he was crucified. He did what he was supposed to do, and look where it led him. And not only that, but Jesus has warned his disciples during his earthly ministry in John 15, verse 20. He says, remember what I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It is a delusion, a grand assumption to assuming that doing the will of God releases us from difficulty. That is not the case. But the encouragement is, in difficult circumstances, there is one who is with us in those situations. He's not giving us a pass on perplexities and problems. He's giving us peace from his presence. He's in the boat of our life with us. So that's the first observation. And it reminds me of an event that took place in the life of a man, a missionary named Adoniram Judson. You know, Judson was led to Burma. He was part of the early missionary movement in the 1800s. And he served there for a number of years. And then all of a sudden, there was a change of administration within the country. And he was put in what was called the death prison. But he wasn't put to death immediately. Death prison was where you would be tortured, you would be abused, and eventually, because of that, you would die. And he was in that death prison for 20 months. But he survived. Administrations changed again. He was released. So what did he do? Did he get angry with God because he faced difficulties and persecution? No, actually what happened, that after he was released from that prison, he served for another 25 years in Burma. As a result of that ministry, he translated the entire Bible into the national language. He established 100 churches, and by the time he was finished his ministry, there were 8,000 believers in a country that never had heard the gospel. Because you see, he wasn't focused upon the perplexities of life. He was focused upon the person who was in the boat with him, even God himself. There's a second observation. We look at it very quickly. Look at the dangers they faced. Well, they faced physical distress. Matthew says in the parallel passage to this, it says there was a great tempest in the sea. Luke says there came down a great storm of wind. And Mark and Luke use the same word, actually in the Greek language. It was a whirlwind. Geographically, we find out that this particular lake where this was taking place, the Sea of Galilee, we find out that it's basically in a basin. We find out that it's 700 feet below sea level. We're finding out that all around it are mountains, some very, very high, as much as 9,000 feet. And so we find that there's this inversion that takes place. Whenever there's mountains, you know what happens? The cold air runs to the low. And it is normal, actually, for there to be storms that come up very quickly in the evening, predominantly, because of this inversion layer. So here they are, they're in physical distress. We find out from geography that it's recorded that there can be winds anywhere from 32 to 62 miles an hour that can develop very quickly on the lake. But these men, many of them sailors, fishermen, they knew better than to be on the lake, but they were there. And there was this physical storm. And so they were in physical distress. It tells us about the emotional distress that they faced. They thought they were going to die. Verse 37, last part, says the boat was already filling. It literally is saying in the Greek text, the waves were overflowing the boat. It tells us in verse 38, it says they're perishing and their desperation is evident. And I think that this is very clear from the text. And not only that, but in the midst of all this emotional distress, there was the thought that Jesus should act. Have you ever been in emotional distress and you're saying, "Where is God? Why hasn't he showed up?" And that's where they were. They had some doubts. As a matter of fact, we find out that it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, parallel to this, it says, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." You see, the storm forced them to declare their faith, and their faith was a little shaky at this particular time. And not only this emotional distress, they thought Jesus didn't care, verse 38, because he was sleeping. And they approach him and they say, "Don't you care?" How many of us, in the storm of a life, in our spiritual lives or our physical lives or our emotional lives, we expect that he should answer us immediately when we pray. And then when he doesn't immediately respond, we say, "Don't you care?" The thing that is amazing to me is that they were attaching their perception to Jesus' action. In other words, if somebody doesn't act immediately, they don't care. That's not the case. Because you see, Jesus could be asleep there on that pillow on that boat in the middle of a storm that's frightening everyone else, and he could sleep with peace. Do you know why? Because he knew he was in the Father's will. He knew the Father was directing his life. He knew that the Father knew where this was all going. He knew the Father's will was not for him to drown on the Sea of Galilee. His Father's will was for him to die on a cross for your sins and mine. Amazing, isn't it? Whenever you are certain of the direction where God is leading us, we trust him even when things seem very uncertain. The disciples faced danger, but some realities hadn't changed. You know, when they started off on this journey across to the other side, Jesus was with them. He's still with them. This is still the Jesus who had performed miracles. This is still the Jesus who had done so many other things. There was something I saw in research that was interesting, as you see there on the screen, that, as I'm quoting this, it says, "Anxiety has become the number one mental health issue in North America. It's estimated that one-third of North America adult population experiences anxiety on wellness issues." And I see that all over the place, working on college campuses. The anxiety is high. But I also see it as I look at the news. I see that as I look at the newspaper. Students tease me because I look at the newspaper. They say, "What's that?" You know? But honestly, isn't that where we are? We're high anxiety. But let me tell you that Jesus is still with us. What is consuming your focus? Third observation, the deliverance they experienced. Physical deliverance, verse 39. Jesus addresses the problem. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." Well, that's amazing. And notice this, it was additional consequences, and the sea was calm. I was just over in Ireland with my family, and I was in the North Sea. I want to tell you, you want to talk about an ocean that rocks, it rocks. And we were there right after a storm. Amazing. You know, when the storm was gone, long gone, the ocean was still a mess. But you see, when Jesus speaks, he's not only controlling the wind, he's controlling the waves. He's controlling it all. The wind and the waves of your life, he's in control of those things. And emotionally, he challenges their mind. Physically, challenges the elements. Emotionally, challenges their minds. And he says, "Why are you so fearful?" You see, one of the problems here was, and you see it in the parallel text, in Luke it says, where is your faith? Loss of faith. In Mark, he says, you have no faith, the absence of faith. In Matthew, he says, oh, you have little faith. You see, it's all a faith issue. The faith issue is, what do we look at when we are in the storms? Do we look at the storms through the eyes of faith and focus upon the one who is with us, or do we focus upon the storm? You know another event that took place where Peter was trying to walk on the water. You remember that? He did great when he was focused upon the Lord. He didn't do so well when all of a sudden he saw the wind and the waves and he began to sink. I guess the question that I ask in my mind as I think of this, you know, have you faced any storms lately? You know, as we see here, what are the storms you face? What are you facing? Are you focused upon the problem of life, or are you focused with the person who's with you in the problems of life? The last thing is the discovery they made. Verse 41 says it this way. It says, the reaction was, they feared exceedingly. Listen, fishermen know that this wasn't normal. Calm seas in the midst of a storm, not normal. And they marveled. They feared, as it says. And the word means that there was reverential awe. It's not the same fear that you saw earlier in this account. And what they discovered, this is no ordinary man. Who can this be? This is no ordinary event. Even the wind and the waves obey him. You see, the disciples made a discovery in the storm of who Christ is and what he can do. And my question to you is this, as we see here on the screen, is, are we people who are focusing upon the fact of what we have learned in the past of what Jesus can do? Do you forget all the things he's done? They did. Or do you remember what he's done and realize he's the same God who never changes, and he has worked and he can work? If he's taken care of our biggest problem, our sin question and sin and death, can he take care of lesser issues? Now, I went to art school for a number of years, and I had to do art history, not necessarily my favorite. I thought I was only going to get to paint. But they made me study history. And one of the ones we studied was Rembrandt. You know, it was interesting that at age 27, Rembrandt moved into a new city. And when he moved into that new city, it was uncertain. In fact, he was single. He was seeking to establish himself in the new city. He was rooming with an art dealer, not the best of situations. And it was at that time that he painted this painting. It's the only seascape that Rembrandt ever painted, according to art historians. But it's an interesting painting, as you'll see, because in this, there's I think you can see the circle. I can't see the screen there. Is there a circle around a head? Okay. And if we had this bigger and it was clear, if you count heads, you're going to count in there 14 heads. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Well, if it's the disciples and Jesus, let me say, I can do the math. That's 12 and 1. That's 13. How come there's 14? The 14th head is a self-portrait of Rembrandt. You see, Rembrandt painted himself into the boat. He recognized that Jesus was in the boat with him. And that's a thing that we need to recall as well. My question to you today is, the storms of life that you're facing, are you able to embrace the scripture that you see on the screen there, that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and therefore we do not need to fear? That's a great truth. Let's pray.